Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I have a great show for you today. I'm going to be recapping Vanderpump Rules with the one and only Simon Curtis. Simon is a fantastic musician. He's got a great new song out called Love. I encourage you all to go buy, stream, download, wherever you listen to music, listen to Simon Curtis, Love. I'm going to play it at the end of the episode to take us out. It's so phenomenal. Maybe I'll play another little clip in here before I bring him out. But Simon's going to come out and we're going to talk about Kristen Doty's very public on-camera meltdown on this week's Vanderpump Rules in Solvang, or what some people are calling Sovane. That's, you know, what our dear Brittany is calling it. And I'm very excited to chat about this week's episode. Before I bring him out, I want to say please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. If you want to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic. Click the Become a Patron button. For $4 or more per month, you get access to all the bonus episodes. And more importantly, you just help support this podcast. So thank you to all of you that are over there. I want to thank Samson Technologies for sponsoring the show. There was an episode with an interview with Teddy Mellencamp out this week from The Real House of Beverly Hills. I encourage you all to go listen to it. It was very juicy. Like, there was some good stuff in there. So thank you to all that have listened to it. I'm going to hopefully be recapping The Real House of Beverly Hills this week after the episode airs. And then we have our Lindsay Lohan recap coming on Thursday. So, you know, full steam ahead. I know it's a lot of episodes, but we, you know, got a lot of content here. We got a lot of Bravo content to cover and MTV content. Speaking of MTV content, you guys, I don't know if anyone watches The Challenge. I was laughing so hard this week on The Challenge because TJ Lavin, who hosts The Challenge, you know, he's like this very like gruff kind of gruff older man, you know, like real tough. And when he was presenting The Challenge, he was like, without further ado, here comes our challenge. And I thought, wow, I say that same thing on my show, but it sounds so much gayer when I say it. Like when I say, like every, I'm always like, without further ado, here's our Vanderpump Rules recap. And, you know, I just was laughing because I was like, TJ just delivers that line so much different than I do. And, you know, maybe that's why he's on camera and I'm off camera. I'm just behind a microphone. I gave myself a show, but without further ado, here comes the next challenge. And so it's very different than what I do, but let me just say that without further ado, here, it's okay. Let's bring out Simon Curtis to talk about this week's Vanderpump Rules. Wait, I'm going to try to do it like TJ. Without further ado, let's bring out Simon Curtis to talk about Vanderpump Rules and Kristen Doty's meltdown. Let's get at it, dudes. Now I feel like I sound like Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles. Let's get at it, dudes and dudettes. Okay, cut me off. I've had too much caffeine. Without further ado, here's Simon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, guys, I'm here with Simon Curtis. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, I'm wonderful. I'm so excited to be here.
A genuine pop star I have on the show. You just released a new song called Love, which yes. I love. It's so fantastic.
Why, thank you very much.
And I was telling you before we started recording, I used to jam out to your old music. When I first moved to LA, like, your stuff reminds me so much of that time in my life. You know how music just brings you back? I was, like, re-listening to Diablo today, and it was just taking me back in time, and I loved it.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I get that a lot, actually, just because all my initial music came out in 2010 and 2011. I have so many gay friends now who are like, you were my pregame jams back in the day. I love it. It's so flattering.
Also, I mean, that time in pop music was just like the best, wasn't it?
It was amazing. We had like Nicki and Gaga and Kesha and Britney and Katie. It was
amazing.
It was perfect.
You know those, have you ever seen those DJ Earworm like year-end mashups?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? those ones from like the 2009 maybe to like 2013 were just like the best.
They were flawless.
Yeah, and I watch them back and I'm like, oh my God, that was when music peaked.
The glory days.
Speaking of, did you hear any of the new Vanderpump music? We're going to talk about the episode, but have you heard,
like speaking of iconic pop episode music?
No, no. Well, we need to talk about that too.
Oh, don't we
do? I'm talking about Sheena's got a new song out.
No, I haven't heard it.
Sheena's got a new one, and then DJ James Kennedy and featuring Ariana.
I saw them recording on last week's episode. Right.
They only showed us a little clip. I wanted more.
Yeah. Yeah, Ariana Venti.
It's music.
That it is. I'm excited to go check it out. My boyfriend and I did a Lala deep dive like a few weeks ago.
Who do you think in the Bravo Liberty universe, who do you think's the best singer? Or who has the best music out?
Ooh, the best. Well, I mean, Candy, like far and away, because she's like an actual like songwriting mogul.
Right.
And she's written so many of my favorite songs from my childhood. Like she wins hands down. It's not even a question.
I was watching her on Celebrity Big Brother. And when she came out of the house, she was doing like an exit interview with Bryce from Entertainment Tonight, and she was saying how she's making money off that Ariana Grande song because Ariana Grande
sampled NSYNC,
which Candy wrote that song.
Yep.
Yeah,
makes me ill. No strings
attached.
I love
when Candy gets paid.
And so, from my childhood, like that's my golden era. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's fantastic. Okay, we need to talk about this episode. So we open with the girls in Solvang. Yeah. And Kristen.
Solvang.
Solvang. Jackson, I thought it was Solvang.
No, there's a G. I love Brittany so much.
I am on the brim of freaking out. The girls are just drunk, and Kristen's wasted at this point. Like, Kristen is five sheets to the wind. What's the phrase? Yes.
eating plants in the front yard.
Such a fucking mess. Now, I know that I'm one of the very few Kristen apologists. Most people, I'd say 99% of the audience doesn't like Kristen, but I still like her. How do you feel? Where do you land on Kristen?
You know what I find really interesting? Just a caveat, as a TV character, I feel like she has always just been very, very unlikable. Like the things that she does, the things that she says, like she never really redeems herself and is always kind of sloppily just like chasing after people and hunting them down. So I've never really been Team Kristen. But this episode, I feel like, really did a good job of opening the doorway to being like, oh, I understand where all this anger is coming from. And I feel really bad for you. And I feel really sorry for you. And perhaps I shouldn't be so hateful towards you when I watch these episodes.
Well, but that's what these shows do so well, is they are able to humanize monsters. And you were saying too about James. You said,
yeah, last week's episode did the exact same thing with James. Like, you spent the entire season thinking he's such an asshole, and then they start introducing his parents and his family dynamics and all of these reasons that you really, your heart kind of breaks for him, and you're like, oh, I understand why you're an alcoholic. I understand why you have anger issues, and you need a hug.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's responsible? Because I go back and forth, and I don't know where I land on this issue, but sometimes, like with the James stuff, sometimes I do think it's irresponsible of the, I don't know if it's producers, editors, or whatever, just to like paint him into a better light when like we see him being so awful. And maybe Kristen too. It's like seeing someone be so awful and then try to get sympathy for that person. Does that make sense?
I don't think it's necessarily like pandering for sympathy. I feel like it's understanding somebody. And especially when you're meeting his parents and you're seeing his mom, especially like that entire nightmare. I don't feel like it's like a crass grab for sympathy. I feel like it's really understanding, oh, we have several broken people on this show, and this is exactly why.
Right.
So I find it really fascinating more than anything.
It's interesting you say that too, because we learned that with Stassi too. When Dana came on board, that just added this whole extra layer to Stassi that we've never seen in seven seasons.
Honestly, I like that was straight up child abuse. Like, yeah. I have never seen child abuse like that on TV. It made me sick to my stomach.
I know.
And Stassi, I want to give you a hug. Like, it broke my heart.
I'm curious too what the relationship is after that airs. Like, I've heard little things in like blogs and stuff, but I'm curious like what the relationship or the dynamic is between Stassi and her mom after something like that airs, where it's like
so hard to watch as a viewer. I couldn't imagine if you were the child in that situation.
I know. I mean, if that was my mom, I would watching that back, I would have to be like, we can't have a relationship moving forward until I know that you're in therapy.
Right.
Because this, I I'm devastated and the whole world is devastated along with me.
Like literally everyone saw you being a monster. I want to talk about, we open at Guillermo storming off, but before we see Guillermo at Sir with James, mm-hmm. there was a pop song playing. Have you noticed any of these musical transitions in this show? There was a song, and I literally wrote down the lyrics. It was like, boy, you are a boy, you're not a man. Did you catch that?
I'm sorry, I'm cackling.
Boy, you are a boy, you're not.
This episode, Vanderpump Rules, like, notoriously has the worst background transition music in the history of television. It's iconic at this point. And this episode so far and away exceeded every standard that it's ever set for itself. Like, it was like, supercars, Beverly Hills. Oh, God.
There were a lot of them. And Simon, I've been following the show forever and literally recapping it scene by scene. And this was the first week where I was like, what the fuck is this? Like,
the
boy, you are a boy, you're not a man. And then we, like, go into Sir. I was like, what the fuck was that lyric? Like, I rewound it to write it down. I'm like, who's singing this? How are they getting this music? Is it just free music?
Like, we Shazammed like three of them and nothing came up for any of them.
It's like, what's going on? Like, I don't understand.
Shazam on ready and it was nothing coming up.
Boy, you are a boy, you're not a man. Like, what the fuck are we even saying here?
Boy, you are a boy, you're not a man. We need to talk.
Oh, is it just an editor with a keyboard? Like, just make up some, like, improv some lyrics.
Well, no, there are companies that just, like, farm out, like, cheap, quick music just so they can get, like, cable sync deals like that. So they have to be working with, like, one company and, like, a group of, like, two dudes who are just like, hey, come sing this.
Like, at their night off from the Groundlings. I used to do improv, and there would be guys that would just sit at a keyboard, and that was their job to just, on the spot, come up with the lyrics.
I feel like they might do a better job at this point.
I know. It's just, it was shocking. There was another one later. I'm sure we'll get to it. A woman one. It was like, you're a lady, I'm a lady. Let's drink. Let's drink. We're in Solvang. Let's drink. But we saw. Boy, you are a boy. You're not a man. It's also like, it's shady to, like, Jax, like, he's not a man. They just show him, like, cutting fruit. Boy, you're not a boy.
Transition. One of the things I think is so beautiful about this show is that the producers actively loathe cast members. Whatever they can do to humiliate them, to, like, if they control them in the editing room, like, they will do it. And, like, do it in such a flawless way that is just, like, unless you're watching for it, you don't even know what's happening.
No, and that's what I wonder. Like, I wonder how much people are picking up on the fact that every time Sheena's on screen, the editors are making fun of her. Like, every last moment of Sheena on screen is so fucking humiliating.
I know.
And almost to the point, like, where I'm, like, literally, because I'm noticing it more and more every week, where I'm like, I feel bad for this poor girl.
I know.
Like, even though she's the one doing and saying these embarrassing things, it's almost sad because it's like, later in the episode, there was that point where they were making fun of her loving Rob. And then they were like, it was like a symphony. And then they literally edited together a symphony of her saying the word Rob. It's like, that is so fucking rude. I know she's getting paid for this, but I don't know that, like, that's what she signed up for, but I'm loving it.
I know. Like, I have to wonder, like, what does the cast, like, what do they feel going back and watching these episodes? Are they just like, yay, we're on TV? Or are they like, wow, this is like, they hate us.
It's so Valerie Cherish. Valerie is like my number one, but it's like,
it is.
It's very Valerie Cherish of them.
Just like smiling through gritted teeth and like, well, at least I'm on
at
TV.
Least it's successful.
Yeah.
I know. So we did get a scene of James and his brother Harry in the back alley. So Harry's going to be working at Sir.
Yes.
And I did really appreciate that we got in that back alley, because we haven't been there in a while. I feel like those are my favorite scenes. I want more scenes by that Sir Dump.
The dumpster.
I love the dump. Like, that
with
dump
Kristen
has given
scaling
us so
the
much.
Walls.
Like Spider-Man. Yeah. I love that Sir Dump, and I'm ready for Kristen. I am so ready for Kristen to just be going up against James's brother now, because now we have Harry working there, and I'm very excited about what kind of spiral that's going to send Kristen into.
You know what, though? I think with this episode, we've started pulling the thread beneath the James mm-hmm. hatred, and I honestly would be shocked if it wasn't somewhat diffused, because especially if people start really leaning into like what's really going on with her, I would be shocked if she relented a little, if she didn't relent a little bit.
Have you been following? Apparently, there's rumors that her and Carter are broken up in real life because it was just her birthday, and Carter was like the only one, as far as I know, he was the only one who didn't like publicly wish her a happy birthday, and then she like kind of did one of those like what is the word I'm looking for? She kind of inferred that they were broken up.
Oh,
I don't know if she publicly said it yet.
I don't think I follow any of the cast on social media, so I did
follow
not
all of them.
I haven't gone to that place yet.
I actually don't. I think I follow maybe like half-ish. I haven't gotten to like Raquel, but I'm not above it. I'm sure it'll happen soon.
Thought you were my friend.
Raquel. Oh, poor Raquel. I really thought Raquel was going to have a star season this season, and she's had some moments, but...
I thought we were friends. I thought we were friends. Like, that is like a part
Stop
of my...
Stop clapping in my face.
Lala. Oh,
that was her moment, really.
It really is.
So, what do you make of the Harry? Do you think he has star power?
I feel like he's like B team. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's gonna go to the big leagues in this.
I don't either.
Cast.
I was looking at him. The only moment where I got a little bit of hope was when they did that flashback to James in the early seasons of his tenure. And I thought, well, he does seem sort of like James was, but I'm not getting much from him, and so I'm a little bit nervous about him.
He just seems sweet.
Around. Like
he doesn't seem to have the sort of reality show presence that the other cast members do. Like, even Raquel, like, she knows how to stare blankly. Like, she really excels at it.
Raquel's a star.
I'm a Raquel stan.
You are?
I love Raquel.
Oh, I love a Raquel stan.
I love Raquel. Yeah. I'm ready for her to flourish.
Yeah, well, you know what? I feel like the end of this season, I think Raquel might have, like, a really good reunion showing.
I think so, too.
I'm feeling it.
I think she can.
I feel like she'll look her best at the reunion, and then she'll come in with something, maybe, like, against Lala or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Very excited about that. So we did see Jax. He was working at Sir, and in his confessional, he said something that was very telling to me. He said, did Lisa and James bury a body in the desert? Because Lisa keeps letting James back at work. And that was something where it was like, I rarely agree with anything Jax says, but I was like, oh my God, you're right. Like, that's, Lisa keeps letting James back
but
in.
But you know what? How many times has Jax been let in? Like, the only reason that Jax is so pissed off about it is because he's like looking in a mirror and seeing shit that he doesn't like about himself. Right. And that's so much easier to call out in other people than it is to like actually like have some like self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the only reason it's getting under his skin. Cause what the fuck does it matter to you, dude? You're on your 64th time working back at that restaurant. Like, what bodies have you buried with Lisa in the desert? Like,
he's looking in a mirror, similar to the way James looked in a mirror when he was trying on those underwear from an older man. A scene I'll never forget. I did like, we got some flashbacks to Jax with Laura Lee and then Jax with Lala, flirting with Lala. I had totally forgotten that Jax and Lala, they didn't really have like a big thing, but they had a little tiny thing.
You know what?
I'd forgotten.
We just started going back and watching from season one because I started my Vanderpump journey last season.
Okay. Oh,
so
okay.
I have not seen most of the series. So I'm in the middle of season one right now, and I just had my big Laura Lee moment. So
Laura Lee was a star.
She was a damn star.
She was a reality TV star.
Justice for Laura Lee. Where's she at?
I know. I would like to check in with all of these people. Like, I want to know what's going on with Laura Lee. What's going on with Vale? You don't know Vale because she was just kind of around for a minute. But I need to know where they're at. Like, I just want them to pop in the restaurant and say, like, this is what I'm doing now. You know, I live in Oklahoma or wherever the fuck they are. Like, I just need to know what's going on.
Exactly.
So we cut back to Solvayne.
Solvayne.
And Stassi's very much over Kristen. And so you could tell the sort of bubbling under the surface is a Stassi versus Kristen thing.
I feel like Stassi gets upset because she kind of is like the de facto babysitter for Kristen. Mm-hmm. Like Kristen always gets pushed on her whenever she gets to be her sloppiest. So, I mean, I would be pissed if I was Stassi too. I'd be over it.
Like, do you have any friends like that where they're the sloppy ones and you're the responsible one or vice versa?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah, I got rid of them.
I'm in my 30s now. I'm like too grown. That's why I'm like, how are you? What? Kristen? Like, what? Aren't
get
you
it
grown?
Together. And also, they're like wine tasting. It's not like they're taking shots. It's weird to me that they get... I guess I would get drunk.
The thing is you're supposed to spit and none of them were spitting. Like, especially if you have a whole day of wine tasting. Yeah. Like you,
Kristen was straight up chugging. Like she, there was lots of shots of her just like with the wine glass, completely overhead, a straight line from the ceiling to her mouth.
Gussin, blah, 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 or whatever she was saying. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, when you go wine tasting, like you take sips and then you order a glass of the one that you liked. And then, you know, you're able to still be walking when you move on to the next winery.
It was entertaining to me, though. And can we talk about how Lala's wearing a robe?
I mean, Lala, I feel like, is fuck-free this season. Like, she is, like... I feel like some days she's just, like, not doing her hair, but with full face of Lala makeup in, yes, like, sweats and driving the Rolls Royce. I feel like so many times she's showing up to set being, like... My man's a billionaire. Bye. Don't give a fuck.
Have you seen the photos from Lala on set with her Al Pacino movie?
I honestly, like, I screamed.
Somebody in the Facebook group was saying that in all the articles about it, they all say, like, Lala completely transformed. And it's like, she really just looks like Lala in, like, a brown paper bag. Like,
without her Lala racing stripe makeup. Like,
it's like she didn't really completely transform. She still looks exactly like Lala, just in like a worse costume.
You know what? I'm here for it. I'm going to watch that movie just to see that scene.
Oh, yeah. I cannot wait for that movie. So did you catch the shop they were shopping in? Because I need to talk about this for at least 20 minutes.
The weird little Danish
shop? It was like a weird shop, and it had... I was writing down all the things I saw in it because it just had everything. It had makeup, dolls, Legos, cards, books, teapots, light fixtures, miniature furniture. Sheena at one point was like talking in front of a giant wood carving of, I think, a caveman. And then they serve wine there. And I was like, what's happening at the shop? Like, what's the name of the shop? Like, what did they just throw everything in there?
I think because Solvang is a Danish, like, micro town, I think it was like an all things Danish. Because Lego is a Danish company.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that it was just a shop for like all Danish goods, no matter what they were.
Okay. See, that makes more sense to me. Because I thought, why is there a Lego section? Because otherwise, I thought, like, I could wrap my head around a boutique that has like a teapot and maybe like a makeup. Well, I don't even understand. No, you know what? I don't understand. Simon, you're wrong. Yeah, you're right. It is not making
sense. I think
the
Danish thing is the only like valid explanation.
I kept rewinding it because I saw when we first got in there, Katie went over to like the makeup area and I was like, oh, we like are out of Sephora. Mm-hmm. And then it panned over a little bit and it said Lego. And then Stassi was buying like a giant Lego storage head container. And then it went over a little bit more and it was like Ariana was in front of some tiny furniture. And then we saw maybe Brittany making a phone call in front of a wood carving of a caveman. And I thought, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden, as if I thought, like, maybe it's just a boutique shop. Like, that's it. Then all of a sudden we got a bar and there was a wine counter and they were serving wine. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? Where is this place? I want more of them. Like, I want to just spend the day in one of these shops just buying all this random shit.
Oh, man. Yeah, I really think it's a Danish thing.
I didn't know Lego was Danish, but that totally makes sense now. And my boyfriend's like a huge Lego fan. Like, he like still gets Lego sets.
I mean, same. So...
And Bo, too. It made me like Bo when Stassi's like, Bo likes his toys.
I like Bo.
Just across the board.
I really like Bo.
Yeah.
I feel like if any of these other randoms who've popped up in the cast recently were like to become part of like primary cast, it would be Bo.
He seems he's got like an ease about him. I don't know what he does. I'm curious what he does. Yeah. I don't know if they've said that. Maybe they have. But I did find out this week that he was in a Lifehouse music video.
Really?
You know that song Lifehouse, You and Me, which was on my pretend sex list in college, like my sex playlist, which really was just like a slow dance with girl in the dorm room.
Oh, I was going to say, was this closeted sex? Lifehouse would be included in that. I'm really straight, I promise. Want to listen to Lifehouse and Nickelback, ladies?
I would like...
Let's have heterosexual sex. Right.
Lure a girl in my room to slow dance, then I'd be like, I'm too tired. We'd listen to Garden State soundtrack, and that'd be the end of it.
But hey, the Garden State soundtrack goes off.
I know.
What
was that song? I used to love that soundtrack so much.
Oh my God, I still do. That soundtrack is perfect.
I do feel like the movie bamboozled me. Like, I, at the time in college, thought it was like the greatest movie ever, and I've since rewatched it, and I'm like, wow, it's not that good.
I don't remember the movie. I only remember the soundtrack.
Yeah. I mean, the soundtrack is flawless. That Blue Eyes song was my favorite. Mm. That was like one of my... Did you ever have a sex playlist?
Yeah.
Like closeted sex playlist?
No, I really didn't, because I never had closeted sex.
Interesting. Well, Bo was in the music video for one of those songs, You and Me. Do you remember that song?
I don't at all.
It was a slow song and it was beautiful. But he's like... You can watch the video. It's hysterical.
He's very clearly an actor.
Yeah.
Like, he's very seasoned on camera. Mm-hmm. And, like, he seems like somebody who has done, like, UCB or Groundlings or something. Like, he gives off that vibe. Like, he's I feel like he does skits on Instagram.
I don't follow him, but I need to look now to see if he's doing sketches.
I feel like he does.
Okay, so then back at Tom Tom, Lisa and Jiggy, I wrote in my notes, Jiggle. On accident, I typo.
How is Jiggy still alive?
Jiggle's hanging on by a thread.
I mean,
did you watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
I did, and he's in like a hyperbaric chamber and shit. Like,
where do you land on that? Should they be keeping him alive?
No. I think at that point, that's just. I feel like it's really cruel and selfish. And you know, I feel like unfortunately, Lisa Vanderpump has gone through a lot in the past year, and she's probably just like not willing today.
Like,
yeah, not motherfucking today.
Not today,
Jiggy.
Jiggles with me through 2019.
Exactly. So like, I get it. I completely get it. But just objectively, I do not. I am an animal lover, and I also think like animal cruelty can also exist in like putting animals through what kind of amounts to torture and just for the sake of keeping them alive for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Because he's been around for like 38 years.
I know. I've talked about this before. I get so sad and upset about these dogs because we've been with them for so long. And
I know.
We really start to face mortality when we see our reality TV dogs dying. And I don't like it. I know. At least Lisa has all those other dogs that we can look at.
Yeah.
You know. But so Tom and Tom bring that ice shot thing, and Lisa's totally sending them mixed signals. Like, she told them that they could have this ice shot thing there, but then she acts like she's upset about it. And
I feel like that's been Lisa's whole relationship with them about Tom Tom from the jump. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always mixed signals with her and them. Like, one day it's like, ooh, I'm so excited that you know, we're doing this restaurant with you. The next day it's, ha! You have 5%. Who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. You're basically a name. Get out of here.
We need the term sheet, Simon. Like,
I want to see it.
I want to see it. I want to know exactly like what the finances are there. I want to know what
they
their
get
roles
$250
are.
A year.
Right. A year.
Guaranteed appearances nightly.
I need to know. I need it. So then we get a phone call from Brittany to Jax, and Brittany is like asking Jax, like, when is guy's night? Are you going over to guy's night? And Jax is like, well, I'm working out. He was shirtless in his FaceTime video.
Yeah.
And then Brittany says in her confessional, I do want to know where he's going and when he's going to be there. I think I have that right after all we've been through. Where do you stand on this?
I mean, the thing is I think it's great that they're doing couples therapy. I think both of them need to be in individual therapy.
Right. Like, do you think it's actually long-term couples therapy, or they did it one time on camera?
They definitely did it one time on camera. Like, no.
Sure.
And like, I also think, Brittany needs to be in therapy. Like, she made a comment about like, she won't do it, but like, no, you both have some issues to work out, especially if you were trying to be together. Like, and Jax is in such denial just about everything. And he has this like, old Jax idea that he is just like sitting on and like trying to bury and like that shit blows up at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it all brims to the surface.
Uh-huh. Like, he's, I find it really interesting that he is so adamant that he has, like, dealt with all of his shit and he's fixed himself. But it's just, like, it's the most intense form of denial I think I've ever seen on reality television.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really dark. Like, I don't really like the Jax and Brittany scenes anymore because they make me uncomfortable because it seems like they're not facing all the things that they're going through.
They're just lying to each other. They're saying fiance over and over again and lying to each other.
And the way Brittany said that in her confessional, like, I want to know where he's going and when he's going to be there. I think I have the right after all we've been through. It was just the way she said that, I thought, oh, like, it doesn't feel like you guys have gotten through it, which is understandable that they haven't gotten through it.
And it's understandable that she wouldn't trust him, but, like, at a certain point, you have to be honest and mm-hmm. say, you know what, I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just to be expected. You can't just say the word fiance over and over again and think that your relationship has been healed. Mm-hmm. It's so weird.
So during this phone call, it's also revealed that James and brother Harry's working there or whatever, and Kristen overhears this phone call and she spirals. And she said she's pissed because she's the only one not worthy of a second chance. And that to me was like a light bulb aha moment where I thought, oh, that's why Kristen has this thing, because mm-hmm. Lisa has literally forgiven or given second chances to all of these other people in the cast, even Stassi, when Stassi was like pretty. I will say that Kristen maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Did Kristen go above and beyond maybe the things that James did or Jax did or Stassi did to Lisa? I mean, Kristen did tell the partner to suck a dick.
I mean, the thing is I actually get it with Kristen. Like, mm-hmm. I get it because Lisa is, like, the mother hen there, and she has forgiven everybody for everything. You know, even in just in terms of, like, reality TV cycles, people always forgive everybody for everything. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Nene and Kim oscillate between best friends and arch nemesis, like, on a season-to-season mm-hmm. basis, if Kim ever shows up. But you know what I'm saying? And so for, like, Kristen to still not be forgiven, I could, and also I noticed, because, you know, I haven't seen their falling out because I just started watching the show last season, but it was so interesting to me on the last season's reunion episodes when Lisa told Kristen to shut up.
Yeah.
And she never speaks to anybody else like that.
She is harder, and I know everyone listening hates Kristen, but she is harder on Kristen. And some
Lisa
of it's just
Kristen.
She hates her, and some of it's justified, but it is weird because there has been times in the show's tenure where Lisa has hated Stassi or hated Jax or hated James and still somehow is able to get over it or around it.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like every
But
cast
it seems like
member,
also with the other people, she's done it with love. Like, she'll do, like, these little, like, kind of, like, knife-twisting jabs. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, it's still clearly coming from a place of love in some sort of mm-hmm. fucked-up way. With Kristen, it's like she really doesn't even want her on set. She's like,
no, yeah.
I really don't like you. Like, get the fuck away from me. Like, I that's the attitude.
Lisa 100% wants Kristen off the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting about this cast is, like, they are so close that it'd be very hard to just get rid of one of them because they hang out, like,
especially one of the originals.
Mm-hmm. In real life. But Kristen did say, suck a dick, Lisa, at that weird shop. I love when Kristen says to suck a dick. It's like my favorite thing. Suck a dick, Lisa. Oh. And then she says she's going to have to commit murder. I forget why I wrote that in my notes, but she said it at one point. So then, so Kristen storms out. Yes. Then we cut to this evening dinner, and they all have the drunk eyes. Like, every single person at the table.
They are glazed over, and Lala is loving it. She's at the head of the table. She's like, she's like cackling like a Disney villain.
I'm happy that Lala's sober. I didn't really understand that. I was a little confused last week because I wasn't sure if Lala was saying she had a drinking problem and so she cut back, or she just decided she wanted to be sober. I was a little confused. Either way, I'm happy that, you know, she's happy and healthy.
Yeah.
But it was just a little confusing last week to me, but it seems
they
like
didn't,
she's...
They didn't touch it much. She was just like, we had a really sloppy night and we decided to not drink and I'm happy about that. So
yeah. And either way, it's great. Like, if you just want to be sober, that's great. But,
yeah.
Or if you, you know, hit rock bottom and want to be sober, that's great
exactly.
too. It's just, it was confusing to me last week. But Kristen wasn't there. She did arrive in an Uber.
She's wandering the streets of Solvang.
That Uber just made me laugh so hard. She's like, thank you so much for the ride. And then, And also, I thought, like, did she text the camera people and was like,
and how did she get an Uber without her phone? Because she didn't have her phone.
It must have been production.
What is the truth?
What is the truth? We need the answers. But then Stassi said, Kristen, you should tell us what you're feeling. And then Kristen said, James is a bad person. And Katie, even, I was surprised to see Katie say, well, he's just working a night at Pump. And I thought Katie hated James and would never get over it. But here she was at the table telling Kristen, like, get over it.
Because I think at that point it was ridiculous. I think at that point everybody is like, dude, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, he got fired for what he did. And, like, what more do you want? Like, I think at that point it became obvious that it wasn't actually about James. That there's, like, something else lingering beneath the surface. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that anybody else really had the emotional intelligence in that moment to kind of
they were
like
all
identify
so
that. They were all just like really obliterated.
Back at Sir, did you notice, I mean, just because we're talking about Kristen, did you hear Lisa say that Kristen was a reason for James's drinking? Did you catch that?
Yeah, she did.
And that was a little bit.
Well, I feel like I don't think that she was blaming him for the drinking. I feel like in that moment she was talking about who was fucking up at the restaurant. Mm. I don't think she was talking about, like, the way that I observed that was not as like her blaming her for the drinking. It was her blaming her for like dysfunction at Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that makes who sense. Was providing all the free buckets of sangria.
It was Kristen. Meanwhile, the guys are at the Mondrian. They're having bets on who's going to have the first meltdown. And then immediately it cut to Kristen. Like, they all agreed Kristen's going to be the first one to have a meltdown. And then it cut to Kristen. And then the girls in Sylvain, we're just calling it Sylvain.
Sylvain.
They get shots at the table. And then...
How are they still standing?
I know. I'm always shocked by this.
I've gone wine tasting in Santa Barbara a couple of times, and we've only made it to one place. And you are like... You're done.
I'm always shocked. Like, there has to be a lot of caffeine involved or something, because it's like, or something.
Something.
Because the amount of drinking and to last that whole day, like, they started in the daytime drinking and, like, we're at nighttime now and they all, I mean, they are fucked up, but it was just, I don't think I'd be able to handle that.
The pickled livers of Sir. Like, what are their organs like at this point?
So this was the moment where they all started talking about Sheena fucking Adam, and then Stassi starts making fun of Sheena, and then this is where they troll Sheena, and it's amazing.
Yeah. I do feel bad for her now, though, at this point, because...
Every single week, Simon, every single week they're being mean to Sheena, and it's like, we get it, she's embarrassing, like, I get it.
One of my favorite moments from all of last season is when she sat down... did she sit down with Brittany? And she was like, I want you to be this happy, and pointed at her face, talking about Rob. And it was, that was just one of the more memorable moments of all of my reality television watching history, my life.
I mean, it's hard because Sheena's the one saying and doing all these things on camera. And so on some level, I do think Sheena, like, knows, like, she's playing this role a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's playing into it, but it's still, like... Ugh,
I know.
And Sheena was even crying at the table.
I know, because I don't think anybody takes her seriously, and she can feel it. Like
that symphony scene, though, did we really need a symphony of Sheena just saying Rob 1,000 times? Like, really? Like, I loved it. I loved it. It was hilarious. And I'm not saying we don't need it. I'm just saying it was a choice.
They make choices they like make that. Choices, you know, and that's why the show is so beautiful.
They always seem to make it with Sheena.
She gives them the opportunity, though. Like, she gives them the in. She gives them the in.
And I will say that it was hysterical when Sheena was saying, I texted Katie to braid my hair and she didn't respond. Just thought, like, it is so funny. Like, it's such a embarrassing thing.
I know. And I'm just, like, envisioning Katie looking at her phone. Just and setting Katie it back down. She just sets it back down. I know.
Katie can't hide being an asshole either. Like, no, she just is
incapable.
One. She's just like, she's just owning it. And, you know, she just looked right at that phone and put it away. She's like, I'm not fucking braiding Sheena's hair. I'm busy. I'm taking a nap. So then all the guys have their guys' night. Peter arrives, and I didn't like this guys' night thing because to me it felt staged with the girls.
It
and
was
everything.
Super staged. And it was like two girls from like background casting who were like super excited to be on TV. It was very awkward.
And they're doing this too much this year. There's too many scenes where I'm noticing where it feels gross and staged. Those girls had to have had given clearance. It didn't feel like they were just naturally at the bar, which I know we're making a TV show here, but it's like, it just seemed way too much.
It was go get some girls. Oh, here, we found these two girls. Let's go up to the room. Now one's going to blow Peter in the bathroom.
Poor one.
I was like, girl, you got your 3 seconds on TV and you spent it like blowing Peter.
She just flew in from Ohio and she hopped on over to Central Casting. And you know
she's going to like be excited and show her friends this episode. And like her only screen time is her walking out of the bathroom, wiping her mouth. Like, girl.
You know what? Star the making torrent. Turn. Where's her spinoff?
I mean, we need it.
We should give her a spinoff.
We deserve it.
Wouldn't you love like a behind the music or something, like a behind the one episode dedicated to that girl's life story? Like, I would love just like one show, like some sort of documentary show where it's like we dive into that girl's history. I don't care if it's just like there's nothing going on there. I just want to know her story.
It should be the spinoff, like along with Laura Lee and like,
everyone has a story.
Yes.
Everyone has a story, different as night and day. And everyone has their own journey. Some follow their path, some wander away. But everyone has a moment.
I love that.
Then the calling with Jackson Beau calling the girls in Sauvain, it's like, that to me felt scripted. It felt like Jack's like, oh, this will be fun. Like, let's pretend we're worried and then let's call them. It was just dumb.
It really was.
The only moment that felt sort of kind of voyeuristic or natural to me was, did you catch that moment where Sandoval was flirting with the girl? That was the moment where I was like, oh, that wasn't planned.
No, it definitely wasn't.
Because none of them were, the acting was too real.
I know.
It was like, do you think anything happened?
I'm really intrigued by their relationship.
Oh, by Ariana and Tom.
Yeah. Because I feel like she actively hates him. Like, I feel like it. If they ever do have sex, it's her like with like whips and shit, like dominating and like abusing him, like, and like staring getting at him to cry, like staring at him until he cries.
Do you remember that when she was at the bar and Pump, and she just glared at him with like so much anger? I've never seen such anger before.
It was one of the most beautiful shots I've ever seen on television.
Leave with your dumb hat or something like that. Yeah, there's something
like,
going on. And
your obnoxious hat, and you're not like. I feel like she hates him, and even when she was talking about, like, you know, him discussing her and Lala having sex in the backseat of the car, like, she was like, oh, poor Tom. Like, she really doesn't like him.
It was just such a, like, beautiful voyeuristic moment, though, of him in the corner of that thing. And then they both sort of looked at the camera like, oh, and you know, we didn't see him kiss or anything, but there was a moment.
Oh, definitely. And he even started it back down when they were down in the bar before the room, because he was trying to play wingman. And he was like, well, at my bar, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, you're still like peacocking in front of these girls that you're trying to like be wingman, like be a wingman for. So it made sense. And I feel like he would want some attention, because I feel like his girlfriend hates his guts. So even if it's innocent attention off in a corner, like an idle flirtation, I feel like he might actually deserve that at this point.
Sometimes we need a flirt. You know, I've been in a relationship for a while, and sometimes, you know, you just need to know that someone
know that
wants to
got
flirt.
It.
Yeah, so you still got it a little bit. I did love that he brought a bar kit to the hotel. That was funny. And then they were all, like, dancing. There was a moment where they did the little, like, fashion walk, which is such a gay thing to do. Like, I've done that with my friends where it's like, let's have our fashion
lived
walk.
For Tom Schwartz. Like,
it was so good.
There's a little touch of something in there, and, like, I just want him to explore it. At some point,
it was just like I thought, like, this is, I'm watching me and my friends in a hotel room. Yeah. It was like they're all having a fashion walk. And then there was also a moment where Sandoval was dancing, and it wasn't part of the fashion walk, but he was just doing a little dance, and I loved it. And meanwhile, Kristen's texting Carter. She's so pissed. And did you catch when Kristen was like outside alone?
Yeah, it was a split second.
That was when she was texting Carter. And then they showed us the text on screen. And I'm always curious when they show the text on screen, like if they're real
or if they're like doctored or fabricated. I know.
I feel like they're fabricated a little bit.
I feel like they would have to be.
We talked about the Jackson the Beau calling Brittany and Stassi. Brittany said, "Are there hoes in the hotel?"
Oh my God, I love
it. And then Brittany said, "Do not even talk to those girls or I'll cut your dicks off." Stassi's not fucking around though. Like, Brittany, you know, like, she's so sweet. Like, I don't buy it when she says she's going to cut her dick off or cut his dick off. But Stassi, like, I would believe she would cut a dick off.
Yeah, like, there is a sociopath lurking in there somewhere. Like, she, like, she desperately wants to be, like, Jack the Ripper for a night. Like, it really does.
She really does. She wishes she would. And then back at the hotel, Lala's still wearing that robe and all the girls are...
Disco robe. I know,
I love that robe. So all the girls are trying to sit down and Kristen can't sit.
All the girls are trying to sit down. That you had to write down all the girls are like, trying to sit down because down. It's a mission.
Because Kristen couldn't. She like could not sit. She was like a baby giraffe being born. It was just like, how do I get to like, you know, she went to the bar to get some water and she was carrying those waters and I was on the edge of my seat. She had three
tears.
She had three waters in her hands and I was thinking like, is she going to make it? Like, I did not think she would make it. I've never seen such dramatic tension on screen than drunk Kristen walking with three waters in her hands. Like, I
who let her
like Ariana, she grabbed him from Ariana and I thought, I don't, here we go. Like, I've never been so tense in my life. Like, my asshole was clenched. It was like, will Kristen make it or will they should have, you know how they cut to commercial, they should have done,
it for that moment, for that,
or a to be continued.
No. Like, fuck, a to be continued.
Will Kristen make it? Find out next week. She makes it to the table with them waters.
It was
just so good. But then she does find a seat in the middle.
Yes.
And we've seen this a bunch of times in the trailer where Kristen storms off because she gets mad and then she does storm off and she falls.
She falls.
And all of her limbs go everywhere.
Jesus Christ.
And
then she gets up.
It was a little underwhelming because we've seen it so many times, but I still found it completely beautiful. Like, I still found it such a sight, such a wonderful sight.
Yeah.
To just see Kristen kind of like trying to find her balance. Her equilibrium was so fucking off.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
One of the things, I'm really glad this episode started to like go into the why, because mm-hmm. how many years can you just have this poor girl being a sloppy fool, of making a sloppy fool of herself?
Such a mess. And she was fighting with Katie on the floor. Like, she was, did you notice? Like, she was still on the floor and she was fighting with Katie. And then she did eventually.
Legs splayed. Or
everything was everywhere. It's just like. Ariana in the episode said she looked like one of those things at the used car dealership.
Used car
and she totally did.
Thing, which like, she did. Like,
her limbs are everywhere and I loved it. But she continued to fight with Katie from the floor and then she does storm off and Lala says, that was so trashy. But then here's where we got that really interesting, I don't know if we can call it a payoff, but Stassi revealed something that was another moment where it was like, this feels real. Like, it didn't feel staged.
That was the best part of the episode, because totally. That was the only part of the episode that got real.
It got so real. And then immediately Stassi's like, I shouldn't have said that. Like, I shouldn't have. And what she was saying. I shouldn't have said that on camera.
Exactly.
And that's, I always find that the most interesting. But she said, Carter doesn't work. It was a bombshell. And I'm curious now. I didn't know that Carter wasn't working. And I didn't know he was sitting.
I never knew what he did to begin with.
Right.
Like, so I
and apparently not nice to her at all. Like, he sits at home all day and is like not nice to her. He doesn't pay the rent.
He's never been nice to her. I've never seen him be nice to her on mm-hmm. camera.
Why isn't she dropping him to the curb? She's just attracted to guys that are assholes.
I think that's like a deeper self-loathing issue. Like, I think that's like, I honestly, like, I really hope that every single one of these people is in therapy. Like, I really need Kristen therapy 2019, but because like, that's like some serious self-loathing shit.
You know, I'm thinking back now and Tom Sandoval was seemingly sweet to her and she sort of self-sabotaged that.
And you self-sabotage when you have self-loathing.
Yes.
That's a mechanism for self-loathing.
So I'm confused about the psychology behind all of this. Like, is Kristen just attracted to drama or is...
Doesn't like herself, so she's attracted to guys who don't like her.
Mm-hmm. But then I don't understand the Sandoval, because he seemed to be nice to her.
Yeah, but then she kicked him to the curb. Like, she blew that one up, but yet she's lingered around with the one who actively hates her.
We
and
need,
it's so sad.
Like, we need Kristen in therapy.
Yeah.
To see it.
I want an episode where they're like all in therapy.
I mean, Stassi said Carter is a bad guy. Like, even after she dropped the bombshell, she's like, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. And then she went on to say, well, he is. Like, and then everyone was like, but now he's like Camille Grammer, but now he said
but
it.
But now we said it.
But now we said it.
And yeah, that's the thing. I just, he has never struck me as anything but a bad guy. Mm. I'm not shocked by any of that because he always seemed nefarious. Like, there's not, he's just always shady.
That's interesting because I've never put much thought into Carter before. Like, he always just seemed like wallpaper to me. Like, I've just never really paid much attention to him. And I think because they've barely shown us him at all.
Gotcha.
We did get a couple moments earlier in the season when, like, they were going to Solvang and she said he didn't help her get out of the house or anything.
Exactly.
And there was, like, little things where it was like, oh, that's a little red flag. But yeah, and then even this episode when he seemed so like laissez-faire about when Kristen was texting him and getting mad and he was with the guys and he just didn't seem to care at all. And that was a little,
I feel like I remember an instance last season when she was on crutches and he didn't hold the door open for her. I feel like I saw that and like he didn't hold the door open for her. And I remember being like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, he just hates her. Like, that's awful.
So do you think he's just trying to be on camera? Like, he wants to be on TV? Or do you think he's, I don't know.
Who knows? There's a lot to dive into with people like that.
Yeah.
Like, people who would, like, use and abuse emotionally like that.
Mm-hmm. We need to figure it out.
And especially with reality TV. Yeah, he might just want to be on camera.
I don't know. I need more. And so that's how the episode ends.
I really hope they dive into this. Like,
It finally felt like at the end of the episode, I was like, oh, we're getting somewhere. Because we were, like, peeling back these layers. And it did bother me that we're getting so much of that scripted, like, the guys' night stuff. I could have done without all of that guys' night stuff.
I'm done with Jax and Brittany getting married. Like, let's have the fake build up to the wedding. No.
And I love this show, but I almost think that this season would be better if it was pared down a little bit. Like, they have 24 episodes or something this season.
Mm.
Whereas something like Real Housewives of New Jersey did, like, I think 12 to 14 episodes this season.
Gotcha.
And I think that it almost would serve the storyline better this particular season if it was less episodes, because
gotcha.
It just feels like we're getting a lot of that filler scripted stuff.
Yeah.
But then we get these great things kind of
peppered in there. Yeah.
And normally every other season of Vanderpump Rules, I feel like, is more of that real stuff than anything scripted. But.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that they dive into Kristen and Carter. Like, I hope that is something that, and I never thought that I would be saying that.
About here we are.
I want more Kristen.
But now we said it. I know next week in the previews, it shows we're getting a little Carter versus Kristen and then a little Stassi versus Kristen, and Lala says she's taking a break from Rand, which we know isn't true
because we, yeah.
But I felt like now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
I love this episode, Simon.
It was really good.
It was fun. I want to talk a little bit about music.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Of course.
First of all, I ask every single one of my guests what their favorite Mariah Carey song is.
Oh my God. I'm good. Oh, either My All or Honey.
Interesting. Both classics.
Yeah. I have to say My All, because I used to have like diva moments in my room, like just like pretending to like lip sync to that on my bed.
The original version or the remix?
The original.
Right. Do you remember she did the remix on Divas Live, or like it went in, I forget if it went, it was like dance remix and then into the, or maybe vice versa.
Like original Divas Live?
Yeah, 98.
Oh my God.
What a time.
And I sang that song, the first demo that I ever recorded, like the shitty demo in Oklahoma. One of the songs that I sang was My All.
Oh my God. Like, well, we need to unearth that demo.
No, we don't.
How do we get that?
It's horrible.
What do you make of the state of pop music right now?
You know, I think it's really interesting because I feel like it's kind of like the Wild Wild West. Like, because of the internet and because of streaming and because independent musicianship is such like a viable career path now, I think it's really exciting just because so many people are able to just put their art out.
Right.
In terms of like getting like the big pop girls like the early 2000s, I mean, I feel like that's kind of a relic of the past at this point. And there's a part of me that mourns that just because I do like that so much as a gay man.
Right.
But also I think it's time that is a relic of the past, because that was such like a misogynistic music industry model of like basically room full of like ex frat boys propping up like sex dolls, you know. And that's not to diminish any women, but like there was an industry cultivated around like selling women as sex objects. And, you know, I feel like that's really shifted. Like, and even with somebody like our biggest pop girl right now, Ariana, like she is, everything is so on her terms. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like it's all about her art and what she chooses to express and do. And I feel like the industry is really, really shifting. And there's so many gay people making music. Yeah. There's so many queer people, so many queer artists.
Who do you like? What queer artists are you really into right now?
I mean, Kim Petras is mm-hmm. like my total inspiration. Amazing. Just like her business model, everything that she's done. Like I am in awe of what she has accomplished.
Yeah.
And honestly, like Ariana is like, I mean, I'm not talking about like queer artists right now.
I'll talking about Ariana Maddox. Her new song with James. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. But no, Ariana Grande, like she's such a huge inspiration to me. I knew her back in my Nickelodeon days. And so it's
oh my God,
funny.
That's right.
I know the first time I ever like hung out with Ariana, it was the Victorious Rap Party and we were doing karaoke at this little like sushi place in Sherman Oaks.
What did you guys do?
Well, she sang, Mariah, all I want for Christmas.
And a
like,
dream.
I had heard like, cause I was hanging around like while everybody was filming the pilot and I had heard that she was this incredible singer. And then we're like doing karaoke in the summer and all of a sudden that song starts playing and her voice started. And I was like,
and she did
oh,
it during the
shit.
Summer.
Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
I know.
That's the best time to listen to All I Want for Christmas. I know. I truly believe that.
And she killed it. And I was like, oh my God, holy shit.
Yeah.
And she's just like inspired me ever since. I think she's amazing.
Yeah, she's great. All of the new stuff she's coming out with, I just think is phenomenal. And it's at least I'm so glad that we have her because there aren't a lot of those big voices right now.
Yeah.
And I miss that, especially I'm a 90s kid. So I love the big voices.
Yeah. And like R&B. I'm ready for R&B to have mm-hmm. a moment. I want like some 90s art. That's why I love the Toni Braxton album last year.
That album was phenomenal.
She blocked me on Twitter.
Why?
I'm devastated.
Why? Toni Braxton blocked
Toni
me on Twitter.
Blocked
why?
Me on Twitter. I.
What a
can only assume I okay so somebody
what
posted
did you say about Toni Braxton?
She posted when Aretha passed, she posted a screenshot of a photo and it's like her and Clive Davis and like all of these like music legends but she posted the screenshot like including the Google search at the top and it was like word soup. It was just like Clervis Davis Artia Franklin Turney Bristers. And I just tweeted it.
You know, sometimes you have to point these things out.
I was just saying, like, this is legendary or something like that.
Sure.
And it got several thousand retweets, and then she blocked me. And I didn't tag her in it. Like,
you know, people tag online. It's annoying because, you know, no tagging out there.
Don't like, tag.
If I didn't tag someone, then don't tag them.
Exactly.
A housewife, sometimes people will tag.
Okay, enough. Girl, enough. Enough.
Simon, thank you so much. Is there going to be more new music coming soon?
Yes, I have another single that'll be coming out in April. I'm very excited about that. And then you'll just have to see for the rest of the year.
And right now, everyone needs to go download and listen to Love.
Yes.
It came out on Valentine's Day. And yes. I truly love it. Like, can I play it on this? Can I play
it? Oh, yeah,
this
please. Yeah, okay. I love it.
So please go listen to it. And where can people find you on social media?
I'm at Simon Curtis across the board.
Simon, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
That's the show. Thank you so much for listening. I want to encourage everyone to go listen to that Teddy Mellencamp interview if you're a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fan. And subscribe, tell a friend, and thank you to all of you that do. I love you so, so much. I want to do our little cool down, so let's all take a deep breath in. Hold it. and breathe out. Let's take another deep breath in and hold it and breathe out. And now I just want to play us out with Simon's new song called Love. I mean, love is just such a beautiful thing, so we should celebrate it. And the song is beautiful. I hope you'll all go download, stream, and really just let it wash all over you because it makes me happy. It's a really like wonderful, wonderful song. So let's all just wash over ourselves. That sounds weird. Let's wash over ourselves with the song. That's not the right phrasing, but you understand what I mean. Love you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.